Writing on the 3rd of December 1670, the secretary to the British Embassy in Paris, Francis Vernon, wrote of an unusual theatrical event taking place in Paris that week. And this is what he says. "The king came to Paris on Saturday last about 5 in the evening. All the entertainment of the town are the 2 new plays, both of them called Berenice, one written by Monsieur Racine, the other by Corneille, of which that of Racine seems to take much. And the ladies melt away at it and proclaim them hard-hearted who do not cry, so much they are concerned for the unfortunate Berenice." Now, the two great tragic playwrights of the age, Pierre Corneille, who at 64 was the grand old man of letters, and Jean Racine, who still at the age of 30 was the relatively new kid on the block, they staged plays devoted to the same subject matter, and that was the sad tale of the newly crowned Emperor of Rome, Titus, and his love for the Palestinian princess Berenice. Now, as Vernon's description indicates, it was the younger dramatist's version that found much the greater public favour. And it is a viewpoint that has persisted to this day. Corneille's Tite et Berenice is now only read, or very rarely staged, as a theatrical oddity, its plot and cast of characters cumbersome next to the simplicity and clarity of Racine's version. Now, as this year sees the 350th anniversary of the first performance of both plays, it seems appropriate to discuss Racine's Berenice, which is one of my very favourite theatrical works. Now, those not already familiar with Racine's theatre are most likely to have heard of his great plays drawn from ancient Greek myth, such as Phèdre and Andromaque. But Berenice, taken from Roman history, stands on its own in many respects. For a start, it's his only mature tragedy in which no deaths occur. So instead of blood flowing, we witness tears shed, as Vernon's account makes clear. Now, I mentioned earlier the simplicity of the Racinian play, and it's something that he deliberately chose to achieve, because he takes his cue from the most eminent of ancient Greek theorists of the day, of the theatre, Aristotle. And he situates the whole action in the space of one day in a single space, which is in the side chamber between Titus's apartment and Berenice's apartment in Rome, and with only one central plot line. That is the impending decision that Titus has to make between love and duty. Now, these are the three unities of time, place, and action that are so often dutifully trotted out in essays by students of 17th century literature. In Racine's theatre, you have none of Shakespeare's subplots or leaps forward in time or multiple locations. But far from being artificial features that constrain the drama, and this is an accusation which is often levelled against 17th century French tragedy, usually by people who don't know very much about 17th century French tragedy, Racine sees these unities as essential to maintaining plausibility. And the word he uses for plausibility is vraisemblance. That's very important. And as he explains in his preface to the play, far from showing a lack of invention, this adherence to a single space, time, and plot allows the spectator to be absorbed in the moment and to fully believe in what is happening on stage without the need to transport oneself across time and space or to be distracted by other tales. As he puts it, he hopes that, and I quote, "the violence of the play's passions, the beauty of its feelings, and the elegance of its expression will be enough to sustain the audience throughout the 5 acts. To my mind, he succeeds in this aim triumphantly. Now, the play opens not with either Titus or Berenice speaking, but with Antiochus, the king of Commagene, which is now Syria, who is in Rome in the hope that he might be able to declare his love for Berenice. And he thinks perhaps that he stands a chance of this if Titus, following the rule of the Roman Senate, that the emperor may only marry a Roman woman, is forced to abandon his love for the foreign princess Berenice. And some commentators tend to pass over the fact that Antiochus has not only loved Berenice for a number of years, but has also been Titus's closest companion. And some of the classical sources even indicate that the two men had been lovers, even though in observing the proprieties of his time, Racine does not mention this directly. So the whole play revolves around this love triangle, leaving the audience guessing about which of many possibilities might occur. Will Titus reject Rome and marry Berenice? Or will he push Berenice away, leaving her free to marry Antiochus? And if so, could she possibly return Antiochus's love? Or will they carry out the threats that each of them makes at certain points of the drama to kill themselves in order to resolve the dilemma? The ending, when it comes, is magnificent, because it is the woman who wrests control of the theatrical space and who makes the ultimate decision. The unbearable tension of the choices that all three protagonists face is enough to keep us transfixed. But when you add into the mix the extraordinary beauty of Racine's language, I hope that you will find the whole experience mesmerising. And don't be put off by the fact that it's written in verse. It's extraordinary how memorable so many of the lines are and how quickly one becomes immersed in the poetic line. Now, it might be invidious to mention any particular lines, because with Racine, one strongly gets the sense that every single word is integral to the whole tragedy. But among my favourite lines, I would mention Berenice's devastating remark to Titus, "Vous êtes empereur, seigneur, et vous pleurez." You are the emperor, my lord, and yet you weep. Or, perhaps in the final scene, her heartbreaking assertion of the mutuality of their love, and yet the paradox that they must seemingly leave each other. "Je l'aime, je le fuis. Titus m'aime, il me quitte. I love him, I flee from him. Titus loves me, he leaves me." Obviously, the best way to enjoy the play is live in the theatre, something that may not be possible in the near future. But other than reading the actual text, whether in French or English, there are a number of stage versions available on film. The 2000 television film of Berenice, while cutting a number of the lines and not strictly observing the unity of place, does have the advantage of Carole Bouquet, who is incandescent in the title role, with her then-partner Gérard Depardieu as Titus. But if you'd like a gentler introduction to the play, I would heartily recommend Agnès Jaoui's wonderful film from 1999, Le Goût des Autres, The Taste of Others, starring Jaoui herself and Jean-Pierre Bacri. The play Berenice plays a pivotal part in the film, as Bacri, in the role of a nouveau riche but uncultivated businessman, gradually becomes transfixed as he watches a performance of Racine's play, returning again to see both the tragedy and the lead actress, played beautifully by Anne Alvaro. The tears he sheds during the performances bring us back to both Racine's and Vernon's accounts of tears that were shed by audience members in the early performances. I found it deeply moving. Now, if you'd like to read a clear but poetically sensitive translation of Berenice, I'd recommend Alan Hollinghurst's version, written for a production that took place at the Donmar Warehouse in London in 2012.